here's a story from The World.
Last week was an adrenaline rush for novelist Abdulrazak Gurna. Since his phone rang with the news that he'd been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, he's had a few quiet moments. Gurna was born in Zanzibar, a small semi-autonomous island off the coast of Tanzania, but he spent much of his adult life in the UK, arriving as a refugee in the 1960s. Gurna joins us now from Canterbury. Abdulrazak Gurna, congratulations. Last week must be a bit of a blur at this point. Are you settling into this celebrity life yet?
Well, it was a blur, still is a blur, but it's such a good thing to happen. The excitement, the pleasure that so many people seem to share with me, it's all been very good.
Readers who know will know, but many did not know about your work until last week. Do you find yourself asking all those people tugging on your sleeve right now, where have you been all these years?
No, I know where they've been. They've been reading other people, not me.
That must feel pretty good though, right?
Yeah, it's excellent, absolutely.
The characters we meet in your stories, are these people you grew up with in Zanzibar?
Some of them. They grew up with me in my mind, in my imagination, as you were. They're how you inform yourself about the plausibility of the people you're attempting to portray or to bring to life in your writing.
Right. So many of these people you bring to life so brilliantly are deeply wounded by various things, various forces. What has injured them and how do they respond?
I mean, we're all wounded sooner or later, and that's experience in a way. What we make of it is part of the process that I'm interested in. What is it that makes people encounter sometimes situations of injustice and of cruelty, but not always, sometimes situations of affection and love and so on. But what is it that makes people then retrieve something from pain and trauma? I'm interested in that.
I mean, a lot of it is about the pain and trauma around colonialism. You said in an interview recently that you write stories that are steeped in colonialism because that's what engages you. It's what you care about. Why is it important to write about colonialism today, right now?
Well, it is part of contemporary reality. It's not colonialism has gone. Colonialism and its consequences are not only still with us, but they actually, in a very big way, fashion the kind of world that we are now living in. European colonialism transformed the world. You could think of North America, you could think of India, you could think of South America, but more recently, you could think of the Indian Ocean world. So it's not so much that it's a historical event. It's an event which happened many decades ago, but its consequences continue to be with us.
So Afterlives, your newest novel, is set in the era of World War I. One thing that has always struck me, having lived in West Africa for about 5 years, are the layers of colonialism. I mean, World War I was just one of those layers, preceded by the scramble for Africa, followed by the post-World War I carving up of the continent, and World War II was another recarving of new boundaries. How do you see the layers building on one another? What part has been most destructive?
Yeah, well, they all have their moments, you know what I mean? You know, and also, it kind of depends on the particular experience of colonialism. Different places have different experiences, both because the, shall we say, the agents of colonialism had a different ideological or commercial, or even perhaps in the case of Germany, I think, a sort of a military tradition that they carried over from Germany to the way in which they went about their colonialism.
And they were the colonizers in Tanzania, from what became
Tanzania. Yeah. And also, I think it depends on when it happened. If you look at the colonial experience of India with the British began there as perhaps the Europeans began in North America as weak. They're just arriving there, kind of relying on other people's indulgence in a way. And then they get stronger and stronger and stronger and impose themselves. By the time you get to the 19th century and the divisions of Africa, Europe, of course, is the powerful, dominant, doesn't need to ask anybody's permission to do anything. And so by then, that's when Germany comes in, colonial expansion is really conquest. It's no longer mercantile or to do with trade, then gradually turning into something else. It was straightforward conquest.
You were a teenager in 1960 when independence was claimed by many former colonies on the African continent. How do you understand independence, Abdulrazak Gurna? How did colonialism persist even after the celebratory moments in 1960? And how does it live on today? What do you see on the ground?
Well, it continues because what we thought would happen, we were too optimistic. What we thought was that it would release the energies and the humane desires, as it were, of the colonized. But that wasn't what happened, of course. What happened was the same ugly traits of human beings, greed and corruption and so on. I'm not saying that it's all bleak and pointless and all of that kind of thing, but, you know, it does seem that we go one step forward, one half step back and so on. And in some places, no steps forward.
One of the first books I read when I lived in West Africa was Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart, published in the late 50s on the eve of Nigerian independence, set in pre-colonial Nigeria. And then it becomes this post-independence modern classic. Of course, one novel doesn't come close to telling the whole story. What is the role of literature in African societies undergoing transformation and under stress?
Yeah, well, I think the role of literature everywhere is to some extent supposed to engage and to address issues of the day. Now, the issues of the day may also be about how did you get to here? So there's scope for writing to be about understanding what happened in the past, or just simply also understanding human beings, understanding how we live, how we function as social beings, what is possible, you know, how is it that people can come out of distress? Maybe something you might learn by reading about other people's examples and how they have come out of distress. Mm. But above all, it's also to give pleasure, to delight. If that happens, then I think literature is also doing an important function.
So finally, I mean, given all of these things kind of pulling you left, right, and center, I'm just curious how you are and have been celebrating what is a very exciting acknowledgement, the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Most of the time, I'm talking to you guys. But when I get a moment or two, I do sit down and celebrate quietly.
Abdulrazak Gurnah is this year's Nobel Laureate for Literature, the first winner of the award from East Africa. Abdulrazak, again, thank you very much for the conversation. Congratulations, and thank you for letting us invade your peace and quiet again.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
From PRX.